Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. It's been a while since I started with a little joke for you, since it's pre-COVID, but I saw this one this week and thought I'd share it. I was driving on the roadside and I saw a stand that had a sign that said, "Lobster tails, $2. I pulled my truck over and got my $2 out and gave it to the gentleman. I said, "One lobster tail, please." He said, "Yes, sir." Put the $2 in his pocket and said, "Once upon a time, there was a lobster." I know, y'all. They haven't gotten better since COVID. I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. This is the way the NIV reads it. This is Joseph's conversation with his brothers. And let me just preface what I'm about to say. We'll probably not get back to Genesis and Joseph tonight, but we're going to set the stage for the next 4 weeks. But this is Joseph's conversation with his brothers after everything had happened. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." I want to just begin this series, and it's called Plot Twist. I want to begin this series tonight, and I believe it's going to bless you. Let's pray over it before we jump into it. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word speaks. That, God, your word speaks beyond, God, just the written black letters on a white-paged Bible, more and greater than just an app. But, God, your word continues to speak. And, God, it will speak 50 different ways tonight, God. It will minister to people that are at different levels of their faith, that have different needs represented. But, Lord, I pray that your word would take root in our lives tonight, that in just a few moments, forever decisions would be made. Let me remind you, Satan, that the blood of Jesus is against you. You are a liar, and you are the father of all liars. And we know that you come immediately to steal the word, but we put you on notice tonight. That's not going to work for us. We're going to have the word work for us and God work through us. Have your way, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Somebody give God praise. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. So good to see each and every one of you here on a Wednesday night. Plot twist, how many readers do I have out in the audience tonight? You like to read, not the gossip column, but actual books. I always encourage young people, and one of the things that Mandy and I have not been able to do since COVID is greet all of our first-time guests and hand them a book. And it's amazing how many 6-, 7-, 8-year-old kids that when we have something for them, and it's usually some candy and a wristband, they say, "No, I want the book." And I always have this conversation with these kids. "Listen, I'll give you a book, but you got to promise to read it. Don't just take it because mom and dad are getting one, but if you get this book, it might take you all year to read it, but you're going to read it." And then I always say this to them, because leaders are readers. So there's a lot of us that love to read. I love to read. How many of us don't like to read, but we like to watch movies? If it wasn't for movies, I would have failed my Pride and Prejudice paper in high school. Because it was the Cliff Notes version. Come on, y'all know the little yellow booklets, yellow and black booklets, the Cliff Notes version. I read the back of Pride and Prejudice. I read the first chapter and the last chapter of Pride and Prejudice. Then I watched the movie. And then God knew what I was going to do because I talked my way through the rest of that paper, and it actually sounded like I had read that book. So there's some of us that like to read. There's some of us that like to watch movies. But I like a good plot in a movie. And I like a good plot in a book. Very rarely is there ever a time where the book or the plot of a book or a movie that it actually twists in such a way where I did not see that coming. I can usually, and Todd and I went and saw a movie the other night for the first time in about a year, and I'm probably not the best guy to go to a movie with, because as the movie's going on, I'm leaning over saying, that's the guy who killed that person. That's the guy that's going to cause trouble. And so I'm always trying to pick. And then every once in a while, they will give spoilers. How many of you know what a spoiler is? It's where the end or the twist is identified before you ever read the book or watch the movie. And most of the time, like a great example would be the movie Sixth Sense. Anybody see Sixth Sense? I didn't get to see it before the spoiler was given. I'm not going to give you a spoiler tonight in case you haven't watched it. I don't want to get any hate mail from you. But even after I heard the spoiler, I wanted to watch the movie. Check this out. Because I wanted to see how they got from point A to point B. And even though I knew how it ended, I said, I still want to walk this thing out. I'm talking to believers tonight. We know how it ends. We know exactly how all this is going to wrap up. We've read the back of the book. We've read the Bible. We know that this ends with a shout, a literal shout. We know that the eastern sky is going to open, that Jesus is going to come back riding on a horse. And listen, those that are dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then those that remain, we're going to be caught up in the air. It's what we call the rapture. It's what's described in Thessalonians. So we know how it ends. But amen, just like the movie, I want to walk it out and I want to take the steps from point A to point B. And let me tell you something, believers, it's a great place in faith when you know exactly how the story ends and you can take all the twists and turns and you can go through the highs and the lows of life and not let it affect you one bit. Why? Because you had a spoiler. Why? Because you know how the plot is going to twist for your favor. I've told many people. I talked to a friend of mine I hadn't talked to in a couple of years this week about some business. He and I are on the same wavelength when it comes to the political scene and political issue. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. You just need to do what God's asked you to do, which is vote. You need to pray. And then you need to just come to church and serve and love people to the cross. Why? Because we know how this is going to end. I'm not shocked that our world is in turmoil because it has to be in turmoil. So listen, so that the fulfillment of Scripture can be done. And so I'm not worried. I'm not worried about where we are in the chapter of my story. You should not be worried about where you are in the chapter of your story. Let me tell you something. God has it all in control. The back of the book is already finished. Your story is already written. And now we are working backwards. And let me encourage you, if you know that you win in the end, why are we acting crazy in the middle? If he promised you your end would be greater than your beginning, and it's not great right now, it's not the end. Let me say that again. If God promised you that your end would be greater than the beginning, and it's not great now, it's not the end. Put a smile on your face, rear back, declare the word of the Lord, declare the promises of God, and just remind Satan, I know how all of this ends, and I win and you don't. Joseph's story is one where he starts as a brother who is really not respected amongst his brethren, not his peers, but those that are family with him, and we won't get into a lot of that tonight. But we picked up here at the end of the story where Joseph is able to say, everything that you did, I know you did it to bring me harm, and you did it to hurt me, you did it to stop me, but I've got a God that gets involved in my story, that he's not far off. I want to encourage somebody tonight. Jesus wants to get involved in your story. Jesus wants to get involved in your world. Jesus wants to get involved in your problem. And Jesus has a knack for turning everything for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Plot twist. Plot defined is the storyline. It is the main story. It is not the fluff. It is not the extras. It is the meat of the matter. God will get involved in the smallest places of your life, but we have to realize that there are some battles that are just not worth fighting. There are sometimes it's not worth you getting off of the high place that God has called you to into the mud to sling mud with other people. When you sling mud with others, even if you're right, you still get dirty. If you get in the pig pen and sling mud, even if you're right, you still get smelly. And I want to encourage you to elevate your life above the arguing. Elevate your life above the debating. Elevate your life above the questions. Elevate your life above the criticism. And understand this, that the main storyline of my life is I was lost, but now I'm found. I was sick, but now I'm healed. My marriage was on the verge of breaking down, but God helped me break through. And let's keep the main thing the main thing. When you hear somebody has graduated high school, or you hear somebody has gone on to college or university, one of the first things that you ask them is, what is your major? When you ask them what their major is, what you're saying is, what is your focus for the next 4, 6, or 8 years of your life? Not only what your focus is now, but what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Can I encourage you and ask you the same question in 2020 September? What's your major? Are you majoring on what's going to happen in our country on November 3rd? Are you majoring what's happened? Now the CDC has released the report that only 9,000 people in the United States have died of COVID. 9,000. That's not a Republican statistic or a Democrat statistic. That's 9,000 out of almost 350 million people. My heart goes out to the 9,000 families, but they've been telling us that it's upwards of close to 200,000. Are we going to believe that and let that be the major part of our life, or let that be the minor part of our life and say, the major part of my life is to make sure that I'm going to heaven and to make sure that everybody that I meet gets a chance to hear about the Jesus that's taken me to heaven. My story, even the goriest parts of my story, are to bring him glory. Come on, your gory brings him glory. Your mess brings a miracle. Your test brings a testimony. And so the major part of our life has to be Jesus and how our life revolves around him. Don't major in the minors and don't minor in the major. And some of us got to flip the script. And then there's some people, and I wasn't going to preach on this, but I just feel it in my spirit. You ask some people, what are you majoring in? And they say, I've got a double major. And that's where James would caution us, do not be double-minded, because a double-minded person is unstable in all that they are. You can't major in Christ and major in politics. You can't major in money and major in Messiah. You are going to have to pick one major and go with it, but you have to understand the major that I choose is going to determine the direction of my life. And I feel it coming on. The main story, plot twist. When I looked up plot twist, I found a lot of great preaching points. A plot twist is a radical change in the direction or the expected outcome of the plot. How many of you could use a radical change in your life? When Jesus came into our life, man, it should have been a radical change. When Jesus stepped into our life, it should change the way we talk. It would take word, should take words out of our vocabulary. It should put new words into our vocabulary. When Jesus came into our life as Savior, it should have changed our circle of friends. When Jesus came into our life, it should have changed our hobbies. Now instead of hanging out on the street corner, we're hanging out on the corner pew. Come on now. Instead of going to the club 2 or 3 times a week and bumping, now we're praising 2 or 3 weeks with our faith-filled friends. Instead of wasting money on lottery tickets, you're now tithing. Maybe you're doing both. I don't know. But remember, if you play the lottery and win, tithe, tithe, tithe. You said that's dirty money. No, it's kingdom money. We've already had a radical change, but let me tell you this, church. Jesus does not want to radically change your life one time. Jesus wants to radically change your Thursday. Jesus wants to radically change you after lunch. Jesus wants to radically, every time you come to Living Way, he wants a shift and a radical change. Every time you kneel down to pray, he wants to radically change your life. Every time you put Jesus culture on the iPod, he wants to radically change your life. It's not a one and done. Jesus wants to radically change you every day from here to heaven. A radical change in your plot, meaning your story is going this way, but when you accept Jesus or you give your life fully over to Jesus, boom, the direction of your life changes. And when we talk about radically, it's not a shift. Come on now. It's not, well, I smoke 2 packs a day, let me wean myself off. A radical change. It's not this addiction is going to be hard to kick. A radical change. It's not, I don't know if I can give up that person or that relationship. A radical change. Because when you start having a radical change in your life, it's going to change a radical direction in your life. And you're going to look up in October and say, look what the Lord has done in 30 days of my life, all because of a plot twist, and I allowed him to radically change my life. He's radical. Follow me. Let me go bury my dead father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. That's radical. He said, follow me. To Matthew, and then just walked off. Radical. Well, let's talk about this. Jesus, let's talk about what it's going to cost me. Let's talk about the money. You're asking me to leave my job. You're asking me to leave my family. Radical change. Radical. Not conformed. Transformed. Transformation is radical. Confirmation is not. How do I know whether I'm conformed to Christ or transformed by Christ? Is it radical? Did it flip your world upside down? Did it cause everything to upheave in your life and change overnight? Check this out. You might not change overnight, but God will change things overnight. Man, I remember when I really gave my life to Jesus, it cost me a lot of things. It was radical. I love this. You say, I don't know if I can make that radical change. Allow God to radically transform you. You won't have to make the decisions. They won't want to be friends with you no longer. Say, how do I know whether they're the real deal? Ask them to come to church. Take away their excuse. Every time they start cussing, just start talking about the good news, and start talking about the goodness of the Lord. It's a radical change. Not conformed, transformed. It's a radical change. And when you change radically, you don't have to make decisions. They'll make decisions for you. A radical change. Somebody say a radical change. A plot twist will change the audience's perception of the preceding events. I love this because you serve a God that is working backwards. He knows, the Bible says in Jeremiah that you and I have an expected end. He knows where we're going to end, and he is working backwards. That is why I love talking to God, because I'm serving a God that sits high but looks low, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are higher than ours, is what Isaiah said. And so when I talk to God, I'm not talking to God who's standing next to me wondering what the next is. I'm talking to a God that stands in the next and in the now. See, when you talk to God about October, when you talk to God about 2021 or 2025, you are talking to a God not that has been there. You talk to a God that is there. Doesn't hold time in his hand. He is time. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, Revelation said. So when I talk to God and boom, the plot twist happens. Stay with me, church. The plot twist happens. It now gives me the ability to look back at my life and say, oh, now I see why that had to happen. Now I see why he had to go. Now I see why I lost that job. And now I see why you moved me to this side of town. And now I see why you brought me to Living Way Church. And now I see why you picked me up from New York City and brought me to San Antonio, Texas. When God does a plot twist in your life, it gives you a backward look to testify and say, oh, God, now I see why you did what you did. My testimony. God is not surprised that you have cancer. He's working backwards and wants you to. Faith works backwards because faith knows how it should be, how it is going to be, what has been promised, and works backwards. And so a plot twist will change your perception of what has already happened. A plot twist also is executed. Ooh, this is a good one. A plot twist is executed by withholding information from the audience. There is still in my life, I've got a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. They operate on a need-to-know basis. I don't tell them unless they need to know. Do you know that that's how God works too? That a lot of times we, come on, God, I have to know what you're doing. I need to know what you're doing. But if you have to know and need to know, faith is taken out. But when you are a person of faith and God has promised you and you realize he's in your now and your next, you don't have to know anything. You already know Jesus, and that is enough. And sometimes when I pray and I say, God, I need to know, where are we going? What are you doing? Where do I need to be? God says, Brandon, you're on a need-to-know basis. And here in September, you don't need to know. Because if I told you, it wouldn't require faith. But now that you don't know it, but you know me, every day you don't talk to it. Every day you wake up talking to me because you know I have it under control. I would say it again if I could, but I'm not even going to attempt to say that one again. Need to know basis. I get up talking to him instead of talking to it because I know he has it in his hands. That's about as good as it's going to get. Stop talking to your problem. Start talking to Jesus. The only time you should talk to your problem is to define how big Jesus is. The only time you should talk to your problem is when you're saying, oh, problem, you got about 72 hours left because I see God is on the horizon of my life. I see the dust is stirring, and there's a promise. There's a miracle that is on its way to me. And you might think I'm going to die in this pit. Come on, somebody. You might have thought the prison was going to be my end story and my epitaph, but I've got news for you. There is a plot twist coming, and his name is Jesus. And that's why I haven't cried about it. That's why I haven't complained about it. That's why I've kept my faith. Why? Because I've got faith that there's a plot twist, woo, with my name on it. Oh, I love this one. Here we go. A plot twist sometimes is leaked and given to the readers of a book or viewers of a movie in advance, and it's commonly regarded as a spoiler. It affects the plot twists. Since it affects the plot twist, rely on the audience. They haven't expected it. But I'm here to tell you, a plot twist that is given to the viewer or the reader in advance changes their expectation. See, when you have a spoiler and you're sitting in the theater and you're surrounded, or maybe theater, I don't know where you're from. Some of us say theater, some of y'all say theater. But when you're sitting in the theater and you're surrounded by 200 other people that haven't read the spoiler, that haven't been, come on now, that haven't been made aware of what's really going on, you're just sitting there. It's like watching a movie that you already know how it ends, but nobody else around you, and you're just looking at their reaction. And you know it's about to happen, and you're looking at them. I do that all the time. I'm binge-watching a show right now with Tyler that I know what's happening. So instead of watching it, I watch them saying, oh, man, their reaction is going to be priceless when they see this plot twist and how it really turns out. Can I encourage you? We are not the world. Quit gasping when the world gasps. Quit acting in fear when the world acts in fear. Quit shaking your head saying, I don't know what's going on right now. Yes, you do. It's a spoiler. You know how it all ends. So tired of the world. I'm sorry, so tired of Christians acting like the world. The world is supposed to act like the world. The world is supposed to be worrying. The world is supposed to put all their eggs in a presidential basket. But we are not those people. We sit there in the theater. We know the plot twist is coming. It's changed our expectation. Woo! Your expectation, they should be different in September than the rest of the world. I'm so sick and tired. I can't even watch Judge Judy without getting a presidential break in my regularly scheduled programming. I'm not watching Judge Judy to hear what President Trump said. I'm not watching Judge Judy to hear what Joe Biden said or what he think he said. It's a joke, laugh. It's okay. We make fun of both parties here. It's all right. But when I live with a faith in Jesus, it allows me to not major in minors, but to keep my head focused and my eyes on Jesus And whoever the country puts up in November, let them put them up. Because it doesn't matter who's sitting in the White House. All that matters is who's sitting on the throne. And he's been sitting on the throne the last 2,000 years. He is the King of all kings. He's the President of all presidents. He's the Lord of all lords. His name is Jesus. And I'm not scared because I know there's a plot. There's a spoiler. Not a guarantee, not a guarantee, not a vow. I put it in my notes. I took it out of my notes, but I'm going to say it here. And please, please, please understand what I'm saying. Don't write me off here. Not a guarantee, not a vow, not even a promise. A spoiler. You know what a spoiler means? It means the author's ink is already dry. You know what a spoiler means? It means the director's final cut has already gone through the editing process and is on its way to the movie theater today. What it means is it's already done. It's not something that is going to happen. It is not something that might happen. It's not something that could happen. It is something that has already happened. And I've got a spoiler for you today. You are going to win if you can go through the highs and the lows and understand there's going to be a plot twist for you every single time. Not a guarantee. Not a vow. Spoiler. So having said all of that, I've got a few spoilers for you tonight. After having said all of that, I got some spoilers. God will supply all of your needs. Spoiler. You say, Pastor, I'm looking at my bank accounts in the negative and in the red. Spoiler alert. My God will supply all of your needs. Here's another spoiler. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What does that mean? That you got something greater going on the inside than what is going on the outside? That's a spoiler the devil didn't want you to hear on a Wednesday night. I know all hell is broken loose at your job. I know all hell is broken loose at your family. But I'm here to tell you, you've got a greatness on the inside. Plot twist, the spoiler. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If God be for me, come on, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm going to need to get a better amen than that because that's the ultimate plot twist. The gun has been cocked and pointed and aimed. Listen, every weapon the enemy has, if you could see all the weapons he's got pointed at you right now, you wouldn't have got out of bed this morning. But I'm believing in the fact that no weapon formed. I got the spoiler. Sorry, enemy. You can bring the C word cancer up. You can come against me physically, mentally, spiritually. But I want to tell you, I know the spoiler and the plot twist that whatever God has promised is going to come to pass. And whatever you are forming against me shall not work. It might even fire, but it won't work. Here's another spoiler. If God be for you, who can be against you? That who is a little W. It means anybody that has ever lived, any demon in hell, Satan himself, is no match for the God that you serve, that goes before you and that stands in you. Spoiler alert. All of the 8 billion people in this world can come against you, and they will not win. Why? Because God goes before you. And he said, if you'll lift me up, I will scatter enemies. Spoiler alert. When the devil comes in like a flood, God will raise the standard. It starts raining. Start getting a little worried. I lived in Houston. I got family in Lake Charles. Every time it started raining, I said, God, I hope it stops. They've gone through the flood. But every time it starts raining in your life, your two choices are to run, cry, whine, complain, or to say, God, I know that this looks like the beginning of a flood. And while the enemy's preparing a flood, you're preparing the standard. When the enemy picks up and is no longer a sprinkle, but now it's a deluge and a downpour, now the standard, he has expedited the process of my standard. And it's not one or two sandbags. We're talking about the God who created the sand and every sea on earth, and he's going to bring it to raise your standard. Spoiler alert, blessed are you in the city. Blessed are you in the field. Got a spoiler, blessed is the fruit of your body. That's your children. You're blessed coming in. Spoiler, you're blessed going out. Plot twist, the Lord will command the blessing upon your storehouses. Man, I just had to have myself a little praise party this afternoon when I was putting the finishing touches on this, and I noticed in Deuteronomy 28, it doesn't say that God will command the blessing on your storehouse. He said, plural, your storehouses, meaning that there's a blessing that God wants you to have that you can't contain in one building, in one area. Storehouses, that means your marriage. Storehouses, that means your children. Storehouse, that means your job. Storehouse, that means your ministry. Spoiler alert, God's commanded, hey, blessing, go find Chris. Hey, blessing, it's time to show up at Michael's house. Blessing, show up to the Green family. Spoiler alert, the blessing's on its way. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. Spoiler alert, the Lord will command the blessing on all you set your hand to. That's your job. Spoiler alert, your pink slip is not the end. Plot twist, God's got something better. Plot twist, the Lord will bless you in the land that he gave you. Spoiler alert, the Lord will open his good treasure unto you. You are the head and not the tail, above only and not below. Deuteronomy 28:13 ends with this. If you draw close and listen to the commandments of the Lord, which I command you this day, observe and do them. I'm going to end with Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. I love a good start, but I don't mind the start. I'm really looking for the finish. No one ever says in a race, let's look at the photo start. They say, let's look at the photo finish. I don't like a Kentucky Derby where one horse is 14 lengths ahead of all the other horses. I like one where they're jockeying literally for position, and you've got to go to the photo finish to see. And I'm here to tell you that there is a finisher named Jesus who has perfected the plot twist. Because remember, it was Jesus. Stand on your feet tonight. Remember, it was Jesus. Beaten, bloody, mocked, humiliated. Hung on a cross. And as he breathed his last breath, I'm just thinking in his mind, plot twist. I'll be back in 72 hours. Check this out. When he's having his conversation with Peter, Peter says, don't say things like that, Jesus. When Jesus said they'll destroy the temple and build it back in three. Don't say, God, what he said, get thee behind me, Satan. But what Jesus was really giving them was a spoiler. The temple's going to be torn down in 3 days, but after 3 days, it's going to be rebuilt. God's got a plot twist, right? You're in the middle of a plot twist. In the middle of a movement. In the middle of things changing. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. You know what you do while you're waiting on your plot twist? You worship. You dig your feet in a little further. You learn lessons from people that didn't live to the plot twist. You learn lessons from people that were facing, crazy impossibilities, and they allow their faith to produce that plot twist, and then you mimic them. Let me tell you something. 25% of people since COVID started that were going to church now no longer go to church or even watch church once a week. 25%. Boom, just like that. I want to encourage you, if you're watching TV or in this room, go to church. Find somewhere to serve until the plot twist happens. And then when the plot twist happens, you better praise God and continue to do what you did that got you through and to. I want to open up this altar right now for those of you that are in need of a couple spoilers. Things in your life maybe are on the up and down, and things are shaking, things are quaking, things are not as they should be. Things have happened at such a fast rate. It seems like everything was fine, and now here we are a few weeks later, a few months later, and it's like the train is off the rails. I want to encourage you tonight. Just like Joseph, he went through some pits and some prisons. We're going to dive into those over the next 4 weeks, but I want to encourage you that there's purpose in the process. You can find purpose in the pit. You can find purpose in the prison. You can find that God, I'm going to learn something in this moment. A friend of mine texted me today and said, I'm going to have to quarantine for 10 days. But I love what they said next. They said, I'm going to use this 10 days to get as close to Jesus as I can. Didn't choose the pit, didn't choose the prison. They're choosing a plot twist. Somehow, some way, this pit is going to get me to where God is taking me. Somehow, some way, this prison that I've been living in is going to be to God's glory. It's going to be part of my story. It's a plot twist. But I want to encourage those of you in this altar today. Sister Sean, I want to encourage you. Geronimo, I want to encourage you. Spoiler alert, God's got you.